And hello, everybody, and welcome to YouTube. God help us. It's overtime. Emmanuel here, Kyle,
yes. Over
in YouTube land, and Alex, Gila, and Rob. We all make it okay?
We did.
We are here.
And we're on YouTube.
Still waiting for us to catch up with the delay. I will keep you posted.
Now, YouTube is always behind the rest of the world.
Okay, there we are.
All right. It's raining.
It's
raining
is.
For everybody. I think it's raining for everybody in the area right now.
During the radio hour, it started torrentially raining here, really heavy. Which was welcome because I've been in this apartment all day. It's been over 90 degrees in this apartment all day because our AC is broken down. So I was enjoying the brief respite. And
you have broken air conditioning right now during this heat wave.
Uh-huh.
But
yep.
Gila, looks like you have a popsicle.
We both do.
Yeah, but, okay, so what are you complaining about? I don't have a popsicle.
So Rob very kindly, at the end of his remote work day, went and got us popsicles.
And they're same. Rob has a white popsicle. You have a dark popsicle.
That's correct. Mine is grape.
Mine is pina colada.
Wow.
And we're caught in the rain now, so here we are.
Other than those exciting updates, any addition to our conversation, which took a bit of a turn at the end there, but boy, we're living through some crazy times, and we'd be remiss not to to comment on them, not to take note of them.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yeah, I just a couple of hours ago got back from London, right? So I was kind of all over the UK over the last week, right? So I flew into London, and then the next day I took the train up to Edinburgh, and I was in Edinburgh for the weekend last weekend for the DNS OR conference, and then back to London, then down to the Isle of Wight, then back to London, and then today back to New York. So I'm on London time at the moment, right? After having been there for a week, so it's 1 a.m. So excuse a little bit of my incoherence here, but you know, I stay at the Chelsea Arts Club when I'm in London. And when you get up in the morning, I think one of the best things about this arts club is the breakfast in the morning. You get up in the morning, amazing breakfast is put out for you in the dining room. You order whatever you want, and everybody just sits down and talks with each other. I even wrote an article for the magazine about this. You remember, Emmanuel, of course, about that breakfast table, and it was called Disconnection as Being, right, where you actually talk with people. And it's amazing to me that in a place that is entirely disconnected, where you're not allowed to use your phone, I have not been at the breakfast table once, I would say in the last month that I've gone back and forth to London, where I don't have a discussion about AI with all these artists at the table. It's just on the top of everybody's mind. And what always comes to mind is the topic of another article that I wrote, for the column that I write for 2600, which has to deal with this model autophagy disorder that affects AI systems, or MAD, right? And you probably remember this article, but for those who didn't read my column, there is something that plagues LLMs and models that is very similar to mad cow's disease. And so what I argued in the column was that at this very moment in history, it's possible that we could be living through the golden era of AI because it has ingested thousands of years of human knowledge and its belly is extremely full. And just like mad cow's disease occurs when you begin feeding cows to other cows and they go crazy and they don't like that, this thing called MAD or model autophagy disorder that plagues LLMs occurs when the output of a large language model becomes its input, or the output of another AI becomes the input or the training data on which an AI begins to learn. And if that happens, these LLMs begin to lose their spark, they lose their diversity, they lose their ability to create, and they lose their ability to continue to be coherent as well. So think about what happens here, because this is a very different business model that we're talking about from surveillance capitalism. Right? This isn't the Web 2 world of Facebook monetizing our actions. This is a different business model that is entirely based on dependency. These systems and companies that are generating revenue from LLMs want us to be dependent on AI for intelligence. They want us to get used to using this, and they want us to essentially have it as a perpetual crutch underneath our arm that we continue to pay for every single day. So a couple of things could happen here. If we continue to outsource all of our thought, all of our thinking, all of our writing, all of our goddamn graduation speeches, and I do think a lot of that graduation speech from Eric Schmidt was AI generated. I would go back to that for a moment. If we do that, and at the same time, we begin to lose our ability to organize our thoughts, to write for ourselves, to engineer, to problem solve, all these things that were inherently human that we have trained machines to do, if those models start failing at the same time that we are over-reliant on them, well, then what happens to society? Well, I can say what will happen now on YouTube. We'd be fucked. We'd be totally fucked if that happened, right? Now, the other situation, a corollary of this, that is somewhat terrifying as well, and I talked about this in the article, which is that because there is something ineffable, because there is something inherently unique about what human beings create that machines don't have. There's a spark of something that exists in any kind of content that a human being creates without the assistance of AI that can help these models continue to grow and to create and to be coherent and active. Well, there may be this really dystopian situation later on in life where these machines that we have developed to ease our burdens as human beings could end up becoming our burdens. And we may be forced to create certain content and art and various things that human beings, you know, can do uniquely just so these machines can keep running and keep our society afloat. So in a sense, there's a possibility that if these models do topple over, we could end up becoming slaves to these machines that were supposed to ease our very burdens from the outset. Wouldn't that be ironic? So not to start this overtime off on a entirely dystopian note, but something to think about. And I really think that more research has to be done on the viability, the long-term viability of these types of models.
My God, we're a stupid race. I mean, every science fiction story from the 1940s on has been warning us about this. And here we are just taking the plunge, like, oh, it can't be that bad. Oh, my fucking God. All right, well, it'll be interesting to see if we live long enough to experience it. But, you know, maybe there's hope. As the saboteurs that we are of completely screwing up the system enough so that it doesn't succeed, I mean, you know, I'm not afraid to throw a crowbar into the works, so, you know, if necessary. In New York, lawmakers, advocates, community leaders rallied in Albany a week ago to push for a proposal that would put a 3-year moratorium on the construction of new data centers across the state. Yeah, you want billionaires to come back to New York City to increase the tax base? Stop giving tax incentives to billionaires to pollute our communities. That's according to Cheryl Cords, who is one of nearly 100 people who demonstrated for the passage of proposed legislation with sponsors in both the Assembly and State Senate. And maybe somebody could look it up to see if it went anywhere in the last week. Supporters say enforcing a moratorium would allow the Department of Environmental Conservation and the Public Service Commission to study the impacts the centers would have on their surrounding communities and the environment. I can cut to the chase there. It's not good. It's definitely not good for the communities. Cortez lives in Alabama, New York. Yes, Alabama, New York. We have to go. We just have to go to Alabama, New York. Just to say, we're in Alabama, New York. The town is the site of a proposed massive 19.4 billion, 2.2 million square foot stream data center. It's facing, I'm sorry, $19.4 billion, 2.2 million square foot stream data center. Yeah. It's facing strong opposition due to environmental and energy concerns from some residents. Apparently there are some residents who are not having a problem with that. I'm concerned, I keep quoting one person, I'm concerned about infrasound and infrasound in the scientific community concerning data centers is considered obnoxious noise. And I don't think I ever said the word infrasound before. It's detrimental to your health. Democratic Senator Kristen Gonzalez said, I don't think every New Yorker necessarily is going to live in a community that is going to be sited by a hyperscale data center. This fight is bigger than just individual data centers. It's literally a fight with big tech because they have been defining and setting the rules for how they operate and how they profit, and we have been living with the consequences. Gonzalez is chair of the State Senate's Internet and Technology Committee. We should have a hotline to them. And they're co-sponsoring the legislation in her chamber. One of the proposal's key points is that data center electricity usage is projected to increase by more than 9,000 megawatts, which is approximately double the electricity use of all New York households combined. The idea that we can bring on hyperscale data centers, the biggest energy facilities aren't what normal companies are using, but really are for the big tech companies using it for large language models. It's a direct threat to our ability to continue keeping up and serving New Yorkers. So if AI didn't scare the crap out of you, this really should be of concern because it's destroying the environment and using up all the power. And for what? For something we're going to be the victims of? Well, the Data Center Coalition doesn't agree. Well, we got to find out who these people are, saying studies have shown some of these concerns are unfounded. Okay, but some are founded, apparently. When it comes to energy, we are seeing that energy costs are rising because of a variety of reasons, said Kara Bunder, director of state policy at the Data Center Coalition. I want to know everything about them. Stat.
On it.
Okay, thank you. Looking at research that's coming out of Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, they've attributed these rising costs to a myriad of factors, and that includes the need to update and harden the grid due to extreme weather events. Okay, Bonder also says a three-year moratorium is a long time. How long exactly, nobody knows, but it's a long time. It could signal to data centers that, get ready, they're not welcome in New York State. Can we signal faster? I would like to do that. If they're not getting the message, we need to like really broadcast it, you know, and maybe use some megawatts to get the message through to them. No, you're not welcome in New York. Not my New York. And what have you guys found out?
Okay, so the Data Center Coalition is the industry membership organization, functionally a lobbying organization. Board member affiliations include
Eric Schmidt, I'll bet.
The chair is the vice president of AWS Public Policy for the Americas. So we've got people from Amazon, CyrusOne, CloudHQ, Stack Infrastructure, CoLogic.
Is CyrusOne a company or a member, like a robot or something?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
CyrusOne, is that a member of the board or is that a company?
Probably
is. That is a company.
Okay.
We're just going with company affiliations
okay,
right
for
now.
Okay, for now, that's a company. All right.
CoLogix, Compass Data Centers, CoreSight, Google, Iron Mountain, Microsoft, QTS Data Centers, Stream Data Centers, Switch, Vantage Data Centers, Aligned Data Centers, an organization called Crusoe, Digital Realty, EdgeConnects, I hate the world.
They have lousy names. They really do.
EdgeCore Digital Infrastructure, Equinix, Meta, Opidian, Prologis, I don't fucking know, and T5 Data Centers. Look, it's hot in here, but I really need to take a shower after this.
Wow.
But, Emmanuel, to your point, I did find out about a fascinating project today. This someone named Julian Oliver is doing a project called Science is Poetry, which is feeding nonsense to AI text scrapers.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And actually, I saw something on Mastodon earlier today that if you have a URL that you're not doing anything with right now, they would be happy to incorporate it into the project. Because the more they can, the more garbage that's out there to feed to the slop robots, the more the slop robots will kind of get stuck in a garbage loop and leave the rest of the world alone. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to sciencespoetry.net is where the project lives. I think it's very, very cool. And yeah, lots of links, lots of really fun stuff. I will also pop that link in the chat because I can do that even though no one else can.
Well, you know, I'm all for this if it's effective. You know, I don't want to just be wasting time feeling good and not getting anything done. If it actually does screw them up enough to make them less appealing to people, then that's a worthy topic, I think, a worthy goal.
Yeah.
I found that the Senate bill is called Senate Bill S-9144-A, imposes a moratorium on data center permit issuance and relates to data center rate impacts. And I guess it was from last year, really, what started last year, from what I understand. Kristen Gonzalez, April Baskin, Joseph Adabo Jr., and Jabari Brisport are all sponsors, all Democrats. And hang on, let's see if we can find any additional co-sponsors. There's a whole bunch of them. I'm not going to read all these names, but it looks like every single one of them is a Democrat. What the hell, Republicans? I know you're evil as fuck, but God's sake, how evil do you have to get? This is, you know, like late night, second rate 1990s TV evil villain episode type of evil. Come on, at least be intelligent. And this is just sad, but hopefully you can get some support, some enthusiasm, because boy, we don't need this.
Emmanuel, I want to point out that we have about 50 people with us right now, which is great. And hello, everybody. JBMS bot or JBMSB ought, I don't know, says Alabama, New York is near Niagara Falls, which Tesla made into a huge power generator, so electricity is cheap there.
Niagara Falls.
Slowly I turn.
Wow, okay. Well, that's handy knowledge to know. Although that person might be a bot, based on the way you said the name.
Potentially. Or maybe they're operating in overtime. Rob?
Yes?
You can't push that to the chat. You have to send it to me.
Oh, yes.
There are rules.
They're not my rules. These are YouTube's rules. I think the rain is kicking up again, by the way.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay, so there's another story here related to this. A residential area in Lake Tahoe. Must scramble to find a new energy supplier by May of next year. That's a situation that stems in part from a Nevada utility company devoting more power capacity to new data centers. The energy crisis impacts 49,000 California residents who live near Lake Tahoe, nestled in the Sierra Nevada mountains on the border between California and Nevada. Lake Tahoe's local electricity provider, California-based Liberty Utilities, has been obtaining 75% of its power from the Nevada-based company NV Energy. Their latest agreement covering the Lake Tahoe region could see NV Energy pull out by May 2027, according to extensive reporting by Fortune. However, I don't know why they had to say it that way. However, an NV Energy spokesperson has told Ars Technica that there is no scenario where Liberty customers will be left without service as a result of this transition. So, okay, your lights won't go out. They just might get dim or expensive. Nevada's fast-growing data center development was one of the main reasons given by NV Energy for ending its energy supply agreement with Liberty, according to a Liberty filing with California regulators. Fortune highlighted data from NV Energy's own planning documents showing that a dozen data center projects in northern Nevada could drive 5,900 megawatts of new demand by 2033. Stories like this are going on all over the world. You know, I have a solution for these guys. If they can't cut down on their enthusiasm for all this, build your damn data centers. Build them on the moon. Take your SpaceX or whatever. Go to the moon. Stay there. Build data centers. Do whatever the fuck you want. Leave us alone. That's not too hostile, right? I mean, trying to give them what they want, trying to get us what we need. you know, and get rid of some of the worst people on Earth, really. They'll be the worst people on the moon then.
We could hook up a generator to a treadmill and, you know, they can use all that enthusiasm to run on this treadmill and power their own data centers.
Okay. Have you seen them? They're not going to do that.
It'd be good for everyone.
Well, it would be one thing if we were genuinely creating great stuff and advancing humanity through the use of artificial intelligence, but we seem to be focusing on the generation of non-consensual pornography, you know, through Grok on X, idiotic commencement speeches, AI slop, crappy images. I mean, we're just generating a bunch of shit through these data centers. We're not really advancing humanity. There's like, given the promise of AI, if we were using AI in some kind of really productive capacity, I could see a justification for some environmental damage and some kind of environmental catastrophe, even if we were advancing humanity at such a clip that maybe we became some kind of interplanetary species once we destroyed this planet. But no, we're using it for base idiotic purposes. And I don't see that really changing very much. But to go back to the crux of the issue here with respect to local politics and data centers, there's a big divergence between the local Republican bases of these particular constituencies in these states and the Republicans at the federal level. You have Trump on the one hand saying build, baby, build, and giving carte blanche to all of these AI companies to do whatever the hell they want, and basically trying to mandate that states do not have the authority to do whatever they want with respect to the regulation of AI. And at the local level, you have Republicans and Democrats coming together and saying, no, we won't have it.
Why don't I see a single Republican saying that for this?
Well, I think you do, right?
No, I don't. There's not a single one. I looked at all the co-sponsors. There's like 30 Democrats.
Oh, well, but I'm talking about the state legislatures that are pushing back on this. Those local politicians, I think there are lots of Republicans that realize that their constituents don't want data centers there, and they are not towing the line.
Well, I'd like to hear the name of one of them by the end of this show, if that's possible. But let me also push back on something else about shit. Shit sells, Alex. I look around. It really does. And, you know, it doesn't matter how crappy something is. You know, people are going to want it for some crazy reason. So, yeah, unfortunately. And, you know, I also want to say that there can be good in AI if used responsibly. AI can find things that humans won't find for a very, very long time. Absolutely, there are good uses. But what we're doing now is so typical of what we do when we find some shiny new toy, is we just devote all of our attention to it. We overdose on it. You know, it's the same thing with social media. There is good that can come out of social media, but there is so much bad and evil. And we just seem to gravitate towards that first. We're making the same mistake here. Gila, you are muted.
Thank you. A plan to create a new center of a new source of power for Microsoft with an agreement with Constellation Energy in Pennsylvania. They're reopening Three Mile Island.
Yeah, I heard that. Microsoft, right?
Yeah. and. They want 73 million gallons of water a day for it.
Well, I hope they have a lot of urine built up, because that's really the only way I can see as fair for them to get that.
This information given to us by Tim in Connecticut.
We appreciate you, Tim in Connecticut, but oh my God, stop the world. I want to get off. This is just, I'm done.
We are really being cheerful tonight. That's must be the heat. All right. Well, shall we open up phone lines and get some cheery phone calls?
Yes, we need your help, listeners.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I was going to say the phone is open, so as soon as it's turned on, people can call.
It's on.
I'll put up the numbers while on the stream.
It is on.
I just think this conversation's, it is grim. And I think, there's a super, there's like an acceleration part of this, and I didn't get to say this on the show earlier, but I felt like, yeah, that commencement speech sounded dated, and it was a lot of stuff that you're hearing people talk about in like damage control for PR, and that's not the audience. And I think that was really well expressed in that conversation, that you know, the graduates, they've heard it all. They understand like the technology and the perils, and you're talking to them like a hype man. And I think that capitalism itself is sort of an AI, like this whole like personhood for firms and stuff like that, and they become these like headless things, and branding can be in there too, because then you have like mergers and things being acquired, and even like a company that has a real history becomes sort of totally amnesic about their institutional memory and like what their purpose is. And that's why you get these zombie companies and that have totally different practices and customer service or, you know, standards of quality. They're just riding on like the legacy of a brand image. So I think this whole environment, when you understand like we're in the formative, or like we're training a lot of these things, that's a word that's being used, they're operating as corporations. And that was the subject of that big lawsuit that Elon Musk lost this week, I believe, where OpenAI was forming as this like non-profit sort of like, oh no, we're gonna like, you know, maybe they're like pantomiming safe AI, kind of what Anthropic is actually appears to be a little more serious about in the way they're situating themselves as a firm. My point in all this is that they're all different entities working in this sort of capitalist, this market-based system that is going to, that makes it competitive. And so in that, and I think this is a mistake or something we can learn from the Web 2.0 mistakes with platforms, is not to let these firms abuse customers. Mm-hmm. Like I rail on this. It's where I've ended up with all the conversation around like software and electronics and stuff. And I can speak a little bit about the data center thing too. Because I think that's a manifestation of how so much around this tech industry, which is where these AI companies are coming from, they get hyped and stuff like that, and they are establishing these brands. And so we're all supposed to be exalting the wonders of AI in like organizing our spice cabinet or something. And they're telling us, well, it's just going to get better and better, and it's all so good. And that's why you have to like give up RAM for all the, you know, like all of the like sacrifice that is inherent in that is for this ultimate good. And then, okay, so what's the manifestation of that is massive layoffs. so they cut labor right away because they have to reinvest under this sort of fake competition. Some of that's been used and leveraged as like a nationalist thing in competition with AI, which sure probably has some truth that nations are going to rival one another and compete to dominate in this field. But I guess where I'm going with it is that we gotta do the things like you're saying, like disrupt it, poison some of the training if possible, do all of those things, but also put in policy, put in, you know, consumer protections, ban them outright if that's the kind of development that the state really is just not interested in. These like really massive footprints that gobble, like just gorge themselves on power and water and stuff. That to me is where these companies sort of lose sight of, they think everything that is their field of interest is is benevolent, I guess is what I want to say, like, can't be questioned, so therefore yes, it's a massive data center, people are displaced and poisoned, and you know, the sound is disrupting their lives, but that's the recklessness of it, the without guardrails part. And I think they've fooled themselves, they fooled politicians, and they're trying to fool the public, and I don't think the public's letting them. That's where I'll end it. We have a call.
We do. We didn't get off the phone number yet, so let's do that. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Yes, Alex.
I want to read you a quote from somebody here to go back to an earlier query of yours, and this is a quote that says, "I think people have very legitimate concerns, and that is, who's going to pay the bill for the additional energy that's demanded from this?" They go, "My power bill's gone up because somebody down the road is building a data center," right? That was from Republican Rob Whitman, who is a member of the House in Virginia as well. And so there are a bunch of Republicans out there that are concerned about this.
Well, they seem to only be concerned about the bill and not the effects on the environment and on the power consumption and all that.
So here's another one for you. One of the versions of the big, beautiful bill had something very troubling in there. That said it would override even local zoning decisions for data centers. And that was Representative Thomas Massey, who is a
Republican. Look what happened to him yesterday.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah,
I understand that.
This is where the Republican Party is now. If you criticize in any way, even the most minimal amount, you're purged. It's Soviet era.
Yeah. Well, look what he said. The next thing he said was, "It's a state and local issue. And I think if we try to override their ability to regulate that stuff, it's very dangerous." That's what he said. That this is a local issue. There you have it. He was nuked yesterday
by the local people. Kyle, you had something else. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I would just say that like the physical demands of these things, like, yeah, we have to put the brakes on, and that those are good, I guess, things they'll point out, but they are narrow in focus because I think for the most part it's self-preservation. I think Massey is the example that. And he said what he said, but it was too far. These lobbying, the course of the lobbying entity that has captured the current administration has set priorities, and he became a threat. He made himself a threat to that. So out mm-hmm. he goes.
Yeah, free-thinking people are the threat.
But I think we need to also, like, this has been pointed out, I think EFF has pointed this out a lot, but these are massive surveillance entities. Mm-hmm. After all, we're training these things, right? And they're going to need people to continually, like, retrain them and stuff and correct things. And people don't really want to do that work, I don't think. It's not... we already trained it. It's been trained on all of us. So, anyway, let's go to this call.
Well, I didn't know we had a call. I was waiting for a call. You didn't tell me we had a call.
Yeah, I did. I did.
I didn't hear the phone ring. Is the ringer on?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going.
Hang on. I have a question, though.
Go ahead, quickly.
Did we announce the number?
Yes, we did.
Okay, I don't remember that.
It was just a couple of minutes ago. Said we haven't said the number, and then I said the number.
Okay.
No one hears me. No one hears me. But, you know, just...
So, yeah, the important thing is just... No, I'm kidding.
Please, I want to get this one thing out. Why aren't they even paying for it? So, you know, rates are going up for people who live in the neighborhood. If they were paying everybody $10,000, I would still be against it because it's bad. It's bad for the environment. It's bad for power consumption. Do you know, near these things, you hear a buzzing all the time.
That's that infrasound, I believe.
Who wants to live like that?
It's like low-frequency noise.
Put that in your damn neighborhood. You know, don't subject us to it.
There are many ills, and these facilities are massive. Mm-hmm. And instead of it being coordinated, it's competitive, so they all have to have their own. So they have to control all their own stuff.
Power your own AI. Get a stationary bicycle and use that to power your local AI in your house. And that's
giant hamster wheel.
All right. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel. I use AI to answer questions.
What was
this? Of
course
you do.
Yes.
Because you're not concerned about the right answers.
No, I mean, like when I ask, what is the difference between sudo apt update and sudo apt upgrade? It just says you do sudo apt update first, then you do sudo apt upgrade, right?
Well, it's getting that information from material that's already out there that humans have written.
Right, that's what it's good for, like searching.
Yeah, it's good for that. It's not good for tearing down society and making our lives miserable. That it's not good for. Right, well, actually, right. It's good at it, but it's not good for us.
Right. I ask AI this too, but maybe I like to ask you instead of AI because sometimes it's
thank you.
That
I appreciate
AI
that.
Is not always accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So, serial ports in parallel. Serial ports are where you connect the modems and to like mainframes to a personal computer.
We're going back a few decades here.
Right. But parallel ports for like printers
and things. Yeah, I remember this. I do. RS-232, all that. Yeah, it's quite a trip down memory lane.
Now, you can hook up a PC and hook it up to a mainframe. Like, you'd have to have software, like, right?
You'd have to have a mainframe, too.
Well, no, like, let's say an IBM mainframe or a DEC mainframe. If you had a Windows PC back in the 90s or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you'd hook it up by the serial port. Instead of having a modem, I mean, it's not like calling in to the mainframe, but like having...
Being a terminal on the mainframe. Yeah, you could do things like that, sure.
Yeah, and if you had, I guess you'd have to have...
Do you have a mainframe that you're trying to do this with right now?
No. I'm just saying, maybe we could do this at Hope or something.
A card in a mainframe? Yeah, let's do that.
No, a mini computer.
Okay, all right. Might have to leave it out in the street, but we'll figure something out.
No, you get like a IBM AS400 or a Microvax or something like that. Now you had sort of like WinSock. What is TCPMN and WinSock? What were that again? That's for dial-up modems, right?
I believe. Yeah, you're testing my memory here, Kyle. You might have an answer, even though it's before your time. I think.
I believe it's Transmission Control Protocol. That's all I know about TCP. But it was an early part of that networking layer of the internet.
Look at that. Alex ran away. He's afraid of 1990s technology, apparently.
Is that all,
right.
Caller?
Then, what about WinSock?
WinSock was the Windows Sockets API. It was an application programming interface which Windows used to control how different applications would access the network.
I hope that answers your question. Oh, you get one more question, then we're moving on.
Okay, is it like dial-up? Like when you use dial-up modem, that's what WinSock was?
And that was the question. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. WinSock would basically be how Windows knew what to do with the connection that was going on the modem and hand out access to it to the various programs on Windows that you wanted to surf
the
information
port?
Superhighway.
You're asking more questions than you're allocated. I'll give you one more question, then we have to go to another call. Okay.
So could that apply to a serial port? Like instead of a dial-up modem, could it apply to a serial port?
It would apply to however your computer was accessing something over a network, whether that was a modem, whether that was a local network, whether that was whatever. It's just however you were connected to a network, whether it was a serial connection, a parallel connection, a psychic connection, whatever. WinSock would be how Windows knows what to do with the
a
fact that
trap?
It's connected. Yes, exactly.
Rebel, thank you for your call, and have a pleasant week, and we will probably talk to you next week. All right, 802-321-4225. Let's try to get a few calls in this week so we give people a chance to say whatever is on their mind, and let's try to make the calls as quick as and as pertinent as possible so that we all get things said and done. Yes, Alex.
Well, while we're on the subject of this, do any of you, I'm going to guess the answer is yes to this.
Yes, yes.
Probably going to be Rob, mm-hmm. most likely here. But, we're all familiar with TUCALS, the registrar, right now. Mm-hmm. Do any of you remember what TUCALS, as in TUCOWS, actually stood for back in the 90s?
Well, it didn't have anything to do with cows.
No, it didn't
have anything. That was my guess.
Yeah, it didn't have any, okay. Oh, I'm amazed. Wow, we stumped Steve and Rob.
Is the TUC somehow related to Tucson, thus bringing us back to the Arizona of it all this evening?
Oh, God.
No, that would be something.
Maybe we can figure it out. Okay, so look, was the C capitalized?
They're all capitalized.
What do you mean? That's all caps? The corporation is all caps?
It's T-U-C-O-W-S.
I know what the letters are, but is the C capitalized? You know, like McNulty, the N would be capitalized. Do you understand?
No.
So it's just T-U-C-O-W-S, capital T, everything else lowercase.
Yeah.
All right. Then I don't know. That doesn't give me much to work with.
Interestingly enough, so Two Cows started out in the 90s as a shareware distribution site, and it was free software that was distributed, and it stood for the ultimate collection of Winsock software. And it was basically all types of shareware that involved data being transmitted over the internet, because winsock.dll was the dynamically linked library that involved TCP/IP connections, as Rob was indicating.
That is awesome. Today I learned.
There you go.
So two things. Number one, Tim in Connecticut, thank you very much. You did jump in with that piece of information as Alex was speaking to us, which means it had not hit the stream yet. So way to pick up on that, Tim in Connecticut. And I have a question about acronyms versus initialisms for the panel.
Uh-huh.
We're a panel? I know we were a panel. Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Most things are initialisms, and they're mislabeled as acronyms.
Exactly. Yeah. So, the MTA-related entity that was on strike till Monday night?
LIRR, and that's the only way to say it. I'm so pissed off at that New York Times article that said there's people walking around saying lure. Nobody says lure. Jesus Christ.
So we're reading that article. It's hotter than Hades in our apartment. Why am I trying to keep it clean? It was hot as fuck in here. And I'm reading this and yelling. I'm like, lure? Who the fuck says lure? Yeah. No one in my Queens says lure.
Yeah, according to the article, people in Queens say lure. We're reading this in Queens and bullshit.
So I just wanted to put it to basically everyone and chatters, if you have opinions as well. Yeah, I say LIRR.
Yeah,
you can do that. I don't like it, but you can do that, all right? As long as you don't say lure, that is stupid.
I grew up on Long Island. I had a family member who worked for the railroad, and we generally called it the railroad. But when we used the initials, it was either LIRR, which is awkward to say, or LIRR, which flows nicely when you're saying it.
It flows so nicely. The thing is, what's a little bit weird is that railroad is one word, yet it gets two initials. But I'm willing to overlook that because, it's kind of charming. Alex?
I think LIRR is very inefficient, though, because if you think about it, LIRR, that's five syllables.
If you're in a race, just say the train. I don't know.
LIRR is four syllables. So you're trying to shorten something and making it longer.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with things being longer? Why are we so opposed to this?
There's a strange vocal pause between RR that just doesn't flow nicely when you're saying it.
Yeah, it sounds awkward.
LIRR.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like you're coughing up a hairball. No, it doesn't work.
It's the same thing with GWB, right? People that say GWB instead of George Washington Bridge, it's the same amount of syllables because W is a letter that has three syllables. And it's kind of unbelievable when you think about it.
Is the goal to save time and is this newspeak? We have to make things really, really quick all the time?
Well, it's about efficiency, isn't it?
How is that efficient? What's efficient about saying something quicker? We have more time to stare at each other and not say anything.
It's the ratio of graphemes to phonemes that by which you can judge the efficiency of a language.
I used to live right by the George Washington Bridge. I lived in Washington Heights, and people called it the GWB, the GW Bridge, or the Bridge.
So I wanted to see if anybody here says lure. We did have one listener chime in and say, I say lure. And I immediately said, oh, with your whole chest.
Look, I cannot blame people who are not local for getting it wrong. All right. They don't know better. But if you continue to push that as correct, then we're going to have a problem.
I don't think anybody's pushing it.
All right, then.
As correct. I was getting so mad. I was talking about it at work on Tuesday, and I was like, who fucking says lur? Now, nobody says lur.
I got so mad, too. I don't know why I'm getting so angry at this, but it really is pissing me off.
Seriously. Yeah. And then I like the person who said, okay, lie is faster than L-I-E, but when you say, oh, we're going to take the lie, no.
No.
So until you say lie, don't say lur.
Oh, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point.
I take no credit for it. I just read it, but...
Now, here's another one. Actually, two more. Northern State Parkway. What do you say?
The Northern State?
The Northern State.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't say... I can't even do it. NSP, right? That's what it is. It doesn't work. Metro North. What do you call that? You call it Metro North. You don't call it MNR? MN?
So
Metro North
I
Rail? Is that what it is?
Right. I did suggest to some of my colleagues that we could start calling it Menomina.
We have a phone call. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up.
Hey, why'd you hang up on me earlier?
I didn't do
why'd
anything.
You hang up on me earlier?
I did not do a damn thing.
It was the other guy. What's his...
Look, you're on now. I don't think anyone... The ringer was off. I don't think people knew the phone was even ringing. What's on your mind?
What do you think about that guy who was on top of the Frederick Douglass Memorial Bridge in D.C.? You know, he was on there on May 1st, May Day, for 6 days.
And what was he up there for?
Well... I mean, why else would you be up there?
I don't know. Why would you be up there in the first place? He had to have a reason.
It's a protest, goddammit.
Of what? That's what I'm asking. What protest for what?
Everything that's bad.
Okay, well, that's pretty general, but all right. So is he still up there, or did he come down?
He came down 6 days later.
Okay, and what happened when he came down?
Let's see... He's been charged with crowding, obstructing, or incommoding.
Crowding?
Unlawful entry and failing to...
What is crowding?
Well, obviously he's crowding all the other people who want to clamber up there, too. And, you know,
is there a line of people trying to get up to the top of the bridge? Wow.
Yes, I'm sure it's a very popular tourist attraction. It's got no guardrails or anything around it.
Damn. Well, you know, this guy get a job doing that kind of thing because there are people that have to get up to the top of a bridge to replace a light bulb or something.
Yeah, well, no, he's just speaking down about AI and the president and all these useless Trump wars.
Uh-huh.
So you probably know what spin it is by now. Well, there's not much asking you about it if you didn't already know.
No, I mean, I heard something vague about somebody on top of a bridge, but honestly, I heard Washington. They didn't even say Washington, D.C. or Washington State, so I had no clue.
Oh.
Oh, well. Well, goodbye.
Bye. that was an abrupt call. Go ahead.
So I looked him up because Rob found this person's name, which is fascinating because... His name is Guido Reichstatter. So is it Italian? Is it German? Is it a little mix of everything? Don't know.
Whose name is this?
The guy on the bridge.
Oh, okay.
And this is not the first time he did it. In 2022, he spent 24 hours on the bridge to protest the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
What I'd like to know is he climbs the top of this bridge. How do people know he's there?
He tweeted about it.
He tweets about it.
Hang on. So I could tweet that I'm on top of a bridge. Is everybody going to freak out about that when I'm home?
No, he tweeted a photo taken from up there, which is quite a nice photo. Good composition.
Well, I'm sure that will mean a lot to him, Rob. Thank you for the compliment. Okay. Well, you know, there are other ways of protesting, too. I'm not saying this is a bad way, but it's not what I was expecting to talk about. Okay, we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. How are you today? Hey, and let me say hello to Alex. And thank you, Alex, for 2 weeks ago on BAI putting a shout out to my dog.
Absolutely. Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were you sitting across to me because I know we're talking to Rob. Were you the one sitting across from me when I was eating?
That was me, buddy. Back at the screening of the Joy Bubbles movie.
Oh, that was a great show. show. What did you think of it?
It was very good. I talked about it on this program afterward, and it was a lovely movie, good piece of work, good info about a really fascinating figure in phone freak history and phone history. The movie is called Joy Bubbles. Look it up if you haven't seen it. It's doing the rounds of festivals and things.
It was very touching. That's all I could say. It was also funny, and I had a couple good laughs, but seriously, yeah, I spoke to him once or twice, and he was a hell of a guy.
I think there's an interview with him on Off the Hook. Did we do an interview with Joy Bubbles? I think we did. I can look it up.
Yeah, a long time ago, before my time on the program, and I think before all of our time on the program, except for you, Emmanuel. But yeah, it definitely happened. It's on our archive on 2600.com. You can find it there.
Okay, I just want to say a shout out to Rob. Rob, thanks for the help. You went beyond
anytime,
the call of duty, helped me to get around. I appreciate that.
That was good. It was a good hang.
Thank you. I want to talk about two things. LIRR. You could say LI squared R, just like you would say T squared L. You could double the R by squaring it.
Wow. All right. That wasn't in the article.
Yeah. By the way, talking about Grok, have you seen Grok is really messing up and they're pissing off a lot of people because people are paying and it's not working right? They're having a lot of app issues.
Wow. Can't say I'm surprised.
I like using AI when it works, honestly, like to ask it, like to show me the bottle and ask to tell me, you know, what it is and then tell me what kind of medicine. It does pretty good in those cases, but Grok has a couple of problems. One, it does hallucinate. I've asked it a couple of technical questions on transistor circuits, and I've seen it make mistakes, obvious mistakes, like saying, oh, you could use a PNP in the place of an NPN, and you can't do that without redoing the circuit.
Wow. When it gets things wrong, it kind of doubles down and insists that it's right when it's definitely not right. And that's where you see the real potential disadvantage with AI and large language models.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. Why can't they program to double-check? I just don't understand that. That's one thing. If you don't realize what the problems are, somebody who would just take it for gospel could be led down a wrong tree. I've asked it questions like, let's say, even a technical question like about hacking or telephones, and it gets it totally wrong. And if you keep telling it, it just says, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you have a situation where it keeps bringing up things you've asked in the past? Like on this program, you know, months ago, I had tooth work done, and I was asking AI about this, and it kept bringing up the status of my teeth with every question I asked, and that went on for months. And if you ask it other questions, it'll keep regurgitating that. And I can imagine.
I haven't noticed that. It's not supposed to remember stuff, but what I've had seen it happen right now. If you talk to it for more than a minute or two, it keeps flipping back from receive to transmit, and it also says you hit a limit. But another thing, I like to do vampire stories, and it keeps saying to me, "Oh, I can't help you with that. That's sex. What's sex involved?"
Really?
Roll something. So, you know, they really tighten up on that. And I keep saying to Grok, this ain't graphic. You're not trying to get a video. It's just doing a conversation. And it says, oh, you might hurt yourself if you think you're a vampire.
Wow. It's great getting into arguments with it. It really is.
And they keep asking me, do I want to sign up for the $30 or the $300? And I keep saying, not if you keep hallucinating. I'm not going to pay
for you. Wow. Well, stand up for us humans. We need the help.
Yeah, well, I ain't going to sign up. But once you sign up, trying to get your credit card company to stop paying them will be a hassle. I ain't going to do that. I would love to sign up for a service because I've asked it some questions like how to get somewhere. Sometimes it'll give you the right answers. I've also asked to, you know, show the picture of something like outside and it will tell you like what kind of a store it is. So it can be helpful. But you got to double check because I seen it make mistakes on that. I showed it a box of cereal and told me that it was something completely different. And I said, no, you got to be wrong. And I asked someone and said, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're not getting the right information from Grok.
And it'll apologize, but then it'll keep doing it.
Yeah, I know, and I keep telling you. No, listen, they have to do a better programming of it. But seriously, Grok is having a lot of issues. And if you go on Reddit or other places, everybody complaining, a lot of people are trying to cancel their $300 service and Grok's, and they're telling people, oh, just stay with us, it'll be fixed within a month or two. And they haven't fixed it. It's been going on since the beginning of February. They're having a lot of issues.
Wow. That's something.
But again, guys, it was really nice seeing both of you. And I didn't realize that it was you, Alex, across from me, because I never said hello to you.
I think it was Rob that was across from you, right?
Yeah, it was me, and it was another friend of ours from the 2600 meetings, the New York 2600 meetings. Alex wasn't there, but I was, and I, you know, it was a good time, a good movie. It was also, I mentioned this on the show, it was interesting watching the movie because it had open audio descriptions, and so those of us who were sighted got a chance to experience what it might be like to watch a movie when you don't have vision. And I don't know if I told you this, but during part of the movie, I shut my eyes for a bit and just, you know, experienced it like that. And it was an interesting experience, and it was a good movie. And the filmmaker should be very proud of it.
I know that their visual explanation that mm-hmm. was very good. It really was just the way it should be done, you know. But you know, should be done for the blind people when they listen mm-hmm. to it on a separate channel. That was really, really good. And by the way, a service animal.
Mm-hmm.
Big problem we're having, just to say this, that people with fake animals are causing a problem with fake dogs, like on airplanes. Now we have to go through all this government red tape just to fly.
What do you mean, and fake dogs? What's a fake dog?
Well, a fake dog is where not a fake dog, where someone says, my dog is a service animal.
Oh.
And it isn't. And
okay.
If you notice, my dog didn't react to all the noise around us. It just lay there. But a lot of times you go on airplanes, dogs are jumping up on people, and now everybody's paying for it, because if I want to fly, I have to fill out a form 3 days in advance saying that I certify as a dog, and I got to answer all these questions. It's crazy. If I want to fly,
uh-huh.
I'm being discriminated based on that.
Well, I got to say, your dog is a true professional. You know, I've encountered many dogs, and that dog is, keeps they're cool. And
well, trained that way. Any seeing eye dog. My dog ain't that fantastic.
Your dog just disconnected you, I think. Wow, that's a powerful dog. Yeah, don't cross the dog. Definitely wouldn't. It wasn't us. We didn't do that. We did not hang up at all. But I can say that the interview with Joy Bubbles was on November 20th, 1991, and it's online. So go to the Off the Hook archive on 2600.com, and you can listen to an interview from 1991.
Actually, Emmanuel, about 5 minutes ago, I dropped that link in the chat. Someone did mention that, you know, they had Googled it, and the AI overview suggested November 20th, 1991. So I went to confirm. And
you used AI to get an answer? I just did this myself. I looked on our own site.
So I saw that was that date has been suggested. So I went back and looked at the November 1991 archives.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did? I went to 2600.com and typed in the little search engine window there, Joy Bubbles. And it came back immediately with November, whatever the hell I just said, 1991.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. All right. 802-3214. Someone beat me to it. 802-3214-225 is our phone number for future reference. We're going to take one, maybe two more calls. So let's start with this one. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's me again. I don't know what happened. We just got disconnected.
We think your dog did it because you were saying something critical of your dog. But we also gave out the date of the Joy Bubbles interview on Off the Hook. It's November 1991.
Yeah, let me be real quick and I'll get off. I don't want to be like Rebel. I'm monopolizing the whole time. But seriously, no, I was saying that any service animal is going to be well trained. And I was saying to you before I got disconnected, if any of you guys ever want to do something good, be a puppy raiser. That means the school's always looking for people who will take a dog at 8 weeks old, keep it for about a year and a half. That's the hardest thing to give them up. And oh, you wow. train the dog or teach the dog how to socialize. You don't teach a dog how to do things like cross streets. That's up to the school. But basically, you take the dog everywhere, to restaurants, to your businesses, and the whole idea to teach a dog and socialize a dog.
How does that work in restaurants? Because it's a sighted person walking with a seeing eye dog. Do they have a special like vest or something that identifies?
They have a vest for this dog in training.
Okay.
And legally, in some states, you have a right to do it. In other states, you don't. Basically, a dog doesn't have the right to be in a restaurant. I have the right to have the dog accompany me. It's not the dog having a right. It's I, as a disabled person, has a right to have a service animal.
Uh-huh.
But you need to, you know, somebody's got to train these dogs.
Yeah.
And you got to train them not to bark. You never hear the dog bark. I only heard my dog bark twice in our whole life.
Really?
And
does she have good reason to bark?
Yeah, she was brand new. She was in the house and something startled her. She gave one bark, and then I think I heard another bark, and that was it.
Wow.
The only time they will bark if there's a fire or something, and they want to try to alert you to that there's something that has to be dealt with. But other than that, in almost 8.5 years with her, because she'll be 10 pretty soon, I've never heard a bark.
Wow.
And that's a training. And you see the difference between a dog that's being passed off as a service animal when they're just a pet. It's bad for the dog because a pet's going to get stressed out in an airplane.
Right.
These dogs have been put on trains. In their training, they've been taken to places like getting on a ferry or something, so they know what it's like to be on all these different conveyances, and they know how to just sit there. When I give her the command to sit, she'll sit in that one place for the whole movie. Maybe she'll move once or twice because someone brushes her, she's getting out of the way, or she wants to move, just like you wouldn't want to move your legs. Other than that, she's not going to move.
Uh-huh. Like I said, true professional.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys, you know, giving a shout-out to her. That just means that she's doing her job.
Cool.
So I'm going to let you guys go. I don't want to be a rebel, but just saying that Crockett's got a whole bunch of little issues.
Yes. All right. Thanks thanks for the call, and best of luck. We're going to try and take one more, 802-3214-225. You know, I was in a coffee shop yesterday, and there was a dog in there that was definitely not a professional dog. It was just yapping and barking and just being extremely rude the whole damn time.
It was a puppy.
Okay, fine. I appreciate that. But, you know, the thing that was even worse about that, and I couldn't even see the dog. I was in a different part of the coffee shop. It was so loud I could hear it, like it was next to me. Then I hear the guy who owns the dog talking about the dog, explaining all about the dog, you know, the history, in a really loud voice that was louder than the dog. And I was so happy when the two of them left. And another dog came in, too, and that caused all kinds of turmoil. So don't short sell the advantages of a dog who is trained to be professional and polite and all that. Not that dogs shouldn't have fun. You know, dogs should also be able to unleash, but, you know, not on airplanes, and not in coffee shops.
In the dog park, there was this amazing footage of some service dogs that are being trained in Canada, and they 12 dogs went to see a performance of Billy Elliot the musical because they needed to learn how to sit in the theater. And there's this amazing picture of 12 dogs sitting in the auditorium very politely watching this musical. And
they put on the whole show for the dogs.
Yeah,
how did the performers feel about having all these dogs watching them?
Apparently they did very well. It was part of the Ontario, the Stratford Festival in Ontario.
I've been to Stratford, Ontario.
So, yeah. And the dogs were incredibly well behaved. It's part of their 2-year training.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, apparently at the Stratford Festival, there are a lot of service dogs who accompany their owners. So they were more than happy to do this kind of training. And it was a relaxed performance for audiences sensitive to light, sound, and noise.
We, Kyle, we celebrated Canadian Thanksgiving in Stratford, Ontario. But
yes, we did.
We discovered that nobody else was celebrating it, at least not where we were.
Yes, we were touring.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
There's a phone call.
Well, there's a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
There.
Hey, how's it going?
I wanted to follow up on the guy who called with the guy protesting on the bridge.
Okay.
And I have to what do I have to do?
Yeah, what do you have
to do? I'm at a loss for words. Well, I have to basically say bad, because he was on Democracy Now. Emmy Goodman interviewed him.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy who called in was on Democracy Now. It would be a weird thing to be on Democracy Now for.
No. The guy who was on the bridge.
Okay.
And he was very cohesive. And he basically said what, you know, seems to be one of the shared tenets of Off the Hook as well. That is, keep protesting. Don't take it laying down and... raise your voice, raise your head, raise your bridge, or whatever. I think the guy who called was a little dismayed by your lack of responsiveness.
Well, I can't know about everything.
Just, you know, no, I understand. No,
I keep track of the bridges around me. If I see people on top of those bridges, I'll know about that. But this, I didn't even know where this bridge was, because none of the reports said where it was.
I did know it was in the Washington, D.C. area. But, you know, without even paying much attention, I guess, I don't know. It is true that, you know, as you know well, the mainstream media, when there is a story that even vents or points to a different point of view, they try to ignore it. So it might have not just been a non-story by accident.
No, it was a non-story here. You know, I saw maybe one newspaper report.
No, I saw several. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I wasn't looking for it. You know, it was... but, okay, that was one thing. Another thing, Gila says, stop the world, I want to get off. I think that's a shared feeling by a lot of people. How do we do that?
If you find out, let me know.
Well, you can get off the world easier than you can stop the world. I know that much. Mm-hmm.
Believe me, it's not that easy.
Well, no, but you can do it. People have gotten off the world, but nobody has stopped the world, is my point.
That is true.
It's something we'll all do someday.
Off-world.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Getting off the world is something we're all going to do someday.
Right,
but,
that's true. Yeah.
You know.
I knew somebody's therapist told him, why are you in such a hurry? It's going to happen anyway. Just a matter of being patient.
Well, we started on a bad note. We can end on a bad note, too.
Okay. Well, laughter is, laughter will bury all the world's troubles. Good. Keep up the good work, and thank you.
Thank you for your call.
All the best.
And that's going to do it for calls tonight, because we've been at this a long time, and we're tired, and we're overheated. And, That's pretty much all I can even say at the moment.
I think the rain stopped. So.
Oh, it's still going on out here. So plenty of rain. Plenty of rain.
It has stopped here. It has stopped.
So we've been broadcasting on the radio and online for longer than the rainstorm was happening. So,
and I should point out,
that going for us.
It's not going to be warm anymore for a few days. So
no, it is not. No. I.
Oh, fuck.
So I said to some people this morning that, the high 50s and rainy on Saturday, I was like, I live in hope. That is what is keeping me going right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Please keep updated on the upcoming Hope Conference. We do have the final deadline for speakers and for workshops, which is June 1st. You still have a little bit of time. Not that much time, though. We got a whole shit ton of talks submitted before the early April 30th deadline, but the final deadline, June 1st, if you didn't get it in by the first deadline, you definitely need to get it in by this deadline. There's going to be all kinds of updates and new things on the website, hope.net, so keep checking that. And don't forget to get your hotel room as well, because it's not sold out at the moment. It was sold out, and we added some more rooms. And that's going to sell out at some point, and we'll probably add more rooms after that. But it's advisable to get them as quickly as possible so you're not left out.
Yeah, we can't guarantee how long they may be able to keep adding rooms on.
Definitely true. We'll be talking about that a lot more and announcing some of our speakers. We have some really, really, really good speakers that we're going to be spreading the word about. And that's going to keep growing. It's going to keep growing over the next couple of months as August approaches. So that's where we stand.
All right.
As you can see, we're all bursting with excitement.
This is the energy of somebody who's been in temperatures above 90 for most of today.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes. And yes.
Write to us, OTH at 2600.com. Do try and put a little zip in your words to wake us up a little bit. And we'll maybe read what you have to say over the air if we are so inclined. Until next week, when we will be on WBAI at 7 p.m. And, oh, shit, is next week a... no, it's not. Okay, in 2 weeks, we do a call-in show on BAI, I think. So next week is another overtime.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we can do that. We'll see you then. Good night.